This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Friday, October 8th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app. Good to be with you on another Friday. I always remind you that Friday is the traditional day dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is also the 150th anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire, which reminds me to talk about a very related event. I want you to join Relevant Radio tomorrow on Saturday, 11 a.m. Central, as we broadcast the 150th anniversary of the apparitions at Champion, Wisconsin. The Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help, the only approved Marian apparition site in the entire United States. This annual mass commemorates when Our Lady appeared in October of 1859, identifying herself as the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners. Bishop David Ricken, the Bishop of Green Bay, will be the celebrant. You can listen to Relevant Radio or the Relevant Radio app for this special apparition 150th anniversary mass, 11 a.m., I should say, Central, tomorrow morning on Saturday. Once again, I also want to remind you, in case you haven't heard, we're just less than 2 months away from the Advent season, and Christmas is going to be here before you know it. It's hard to believe how quickly time is flying by. This Advent, let's boldly proclaim Christ in our neighborhoods. Relevant Radio wants to give you and your family a beautiful hand-painted nativity set for your lawn. You can sign up at relevantradio.com/nativity to win one of 200 nativity sets valued at over $500. Let's make this Christmas a Christmas to remember by making room for Christ inside our hearts and outside of our homes. You only have a few days left until midnight Central Time on October 15th to sign up. Do it today. Register at relevantradio.com/nativity. As always, we start every day in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, especially in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Now, coming up momentarily, you're going to meet Marty Jury, the Director of Network Operations, as we continue with another behind-the-scenes feature here at Relevant Radio. He is warming up in the bullpen as we speak. A little bit later, at the bottom of the hour, Kelly Conmee will be with us. She's the Executive Director of the Women's Center in Chicago that has saved over 40,000 babies from abortion over the years, and they're doing tremendous work in helping women with real choices. And Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, the new bishop of Reno, Nevada, will look ahead to this Sunday's gospel. We'll also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner, all that and more coming up here this hour on Morning Air. As we do every day, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Luke 11, 9, and 10. Jesus the Lord says, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us how to ask our Heavenly Father whatever is on our heart. Christ wants us to ask in prayer, but you have to believe that you will receive according to God's will. A good way of knowing if we're praying according to God's will or our own will is this. How do we respond when we don't receive what we are praying for, what we're asking for? If we become upset or disappointed or angry, it means that we are praying for our own will to be done rather than God's will. The Lord wants us to ask with a childlike faith and with a lot of perseverance, understanding that God knows exactly what's best for us in His time. We pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now we're going to continue our series behind the scenes of Relevant Radio as we introduce you to some of the people that work hard every day to bring Christ to the world through the media. We want to give our Relevant Radio listeners, that's you, a virtual tour on how Relevant Radio operates, the people behind the scenes, the microphones, the videos, the email, everything that goes on every day. Relevant Radio has gone from just a few stations in the Midwest to a national Catholic network of over 190 radio stations coast to coast, and our next guest has seen it all from the very beginning and even before the beginning. Joining us now from Green Bay, Wisconsin is Marty Jury, the Director of Network Operations here at Relevant Radio. Marty has been with Relevant Radio for over 19 years when it was back then known as Starboard Media Foundation. He has served as Broadcast Operations Manager and has worn many, many hats over the years here at Relevant Radio. Good morning, Marty. Thanks for joining us. It's so good to be with you here on Morning Air, where it all began.
John, how weird is it to be talking to you on an early morning at 6 a.m.?
I love it. I love it. It brings back so many memories. I got to tell you, in honor of speaking to you, and it is a joy and an honor because you really have been one of the pillars of Relevant Radio for almost two decades now. And I have an old brochure. In fact, there's a picture of you in here. An old brochure, Bridging the Gap Between Faith and Everyday Life. And on the back, it has all the original stations, just a few little stations of how we started out. So I want to really dive into all of this here this morning. Let's go back to your beginnings. Just give us a real thumbnail of your background, where you came from, and you're living in the Green Bay area these days.
Well, actually, I live in the same town I grew up in. That's one of the beauties for me of Relevant Radio is I was able to come back home on multiple levels. Started in Little Chute, and I still live there now, but spent 10 years in radio behind the mic, selling radio, and starting to really develop a proclivity towards the technical side, which moved me towards engineering, and actually, John, was doing a morning show for about 4 years, and
wow.
Sports play-by-play. Sound
I
familiar
remember
at all
those
to
days.
You?
I remember you telling me about doing play-by-play, high school football, if I remember correctly.
Yes. High school football, high school basketball. I loved it.
Were you one of those guys that when you were real little, you always had this passion for radio? Did you want to get involved in radio right when you were a kid, or did it come later?
It was always deep down in there, especially the sports aspect of it. That was what really drew me. The tell me if this dates me, Brent Musburgers of life were guys that I looked towards. So, yeah, it was always there, but it really didn't come out until about sophomore year in high school. I actually wanted to be a priest and went to a 5-day retreat with the idea of I'm going to make a decision on am I serious about the priesthood or not. And 5 days of a silent retreat for a sophomore in high school was not easy, but doing the lists, making up just pros and cons. And 5 days later, I came out with radio and just kind of pursued from there.
Isn't that amazing?
That's great.
Well, Marty, obviously the Lord had other plans for you instead of the priesthood.
Oh, yes.
How in the world did you end up getting involved with what was then called Starboard Media Foundation, the Starboard Network, before Relevant Radio even launched as a network?
Well, so I'm working at this small market radio station, and like all small market radio stations, you don't focus on one particular job. You do them all. And we went from 20 people down to 2.5 using automation. And that meant a lot of work for the 2.5 that were there, putting in momentous hours that I don't even like to think about. But it was paying my dues, and new ownership took over, came in and said, we like what you're doing, but you need help. And this was in August of that particular year. And so then they said, you need to hire people and train them to do every aspect of the job you're doing. And I did that. And when we got to January sales, often in radio, don't go off as successfully as they do in December. They came to me and said, we've got to make a cut. And since you've hired somebody to do every job, you're the expendable one. And they cut me. They let me go. You're not real in radio until you've been fired. I'm real in radio. But they were building a station, and the engineer that was helping them build that station, he and I kind of clicked. And so he picked me up, and one of his biggest contractors was a group of Catholics in Kaukauna, Wisconsin, and that group of Catholics owned one radio station, and that's WJOK, which was the flagship, if you will, and that eventually became Relevant Radio. So I was blessed to be only unemployed for about a month before I was back at it in radio, and long story short, here we are, 21 years later? I contracted for a few years before coming onto the payroll here, and we've been going gangbusters ever since.
Marty, I remember how much you helped me in the early days before we even launched the Morning Air Show. I was blessed to be a part of that original team that launched in April of 2003. In fact, you were the one who taught me how to edit audio because I came from a television background and I had never done the what was then called, I think it was called Cool Edit before Audition.
Yep, that's right. That's right. It was Cool Edit.
Yeah. What do you remember about that first broadcast of Morning Air? All the anticipation that had been pushed back for months. On April 21st, 2003, the first show of Relevant Radio finally launched.
Well, I'll be honest with you, John. I know we started with news from Teresa Tomeo and then sports from you, and then we went into the show. And as much work and dedication it took from a team of people, I'll be honest and tell you, I remember your second sportscast, but I don't remember your first because I was in the car listening and calling my wife. And I'm not going to lie to you here. There were tears in my eyes as I thought, wait a minute, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to someone just in the building across the parking lot from me talking, and it's going 200,000 miles into the air, 200,000 miles back off a satellite, hitting a radio station at that point also in the Twin Cities, and I'm sitting in my car listening to it. And to hear that first broadcast, once they got into the show, do you remember who the first guest was?
You know that I do not remember who the first guest. I actually have a recording of that very first broadcast with Jeff Cavins as the original host.
Jeff Cavins is the host.
I don't remember the first. And I have that cassette recording at home. It's a treasure. We have to bring it back one of these days and play a little bit
absolutely.
Of the audio. It's hysterical to go back and listen to these early broadcasts. Back then, I used to always record air checks. So I have boxes of old cassettes with old broadcasts, and it's all part of the history, and you've been such a part of this. In fact, our very own Glenn Leverance has been around virtually since the beginning. Glenn, welcome aboard. We're joined by Marty Jury, our good friend Marty, who wears many hats. He's the director of network operations for Relevant Radio. Glenn, good morning again.
Hey, Marty, congrats on so many years with Relevant Radio, the leader in seniority for our group, and it's so great to have you along, and thank you for all the good work that you've done through the years. A couple of quick questions. One was, in those almost 20 years of Relevant Radio, what was the biggest change in technology? And then, next to working with the other engineer, Matt Beardsley, what's your biggest challenge in all that you have to do?
Well, the biggest change in technology is how you're listening to me right now. It's instead of going with ISDN lines for long distance connections, that first guest, by the way, John, was Christine Mugrich.
Oh my goodness.
Vatican Radio.
I remember her so well. Got to meet her in Rome years later.
Sat there listening to Jeff in Golden Valley talk to Christine at Vatican Radio like they were in the same room together, thinking, how awesome is this? That it sounds like they're live and not on a phone call, and they were right in the studio, but they were on the other side of the planet, and we're shooting that into space. So from that copper wire of an ISDN line to using the internet and a codec that we're using now, which is just, it's all ones and zeros flying through the internet that's creating the voice that you're hearing on all aspects of this broadcast. That's got to be the biggest change.
It's so
and
exciting.
The second one?
Go ahead.
What was that second question?
Was it working with the other engineer, Matt Beardsley, what was your biggest challenge in all that you have to do?
Well, the biggest challenge is just, you know, we're nonprofit. And because of that, we don't spend a lot on, you know, tons and tons of people here. So it's still, you know, here we are at a national network level and we're still responsible for doing everything, you know, and that's the beauty of the teamwork here. You're not just handling, from my perspective, not just handling national broadcasts, but you're still doing things like changing the light bulbs when they go out. And you know, you've got lots of responsibility, and keeping it all afloat sometimes can be just a little bit overwhelming. But, you know, we get it done.
Marty, when you think about it, as emotional as you were hearing that first broadcast, when you think about how we've gone from just, you know, the WJOK, that first station, to some of the little tiny stations in the very beginning in places like Lake Geneva and Oshkosh and Eau Claire, Wisconsin, to 190-plus stations from Maui to Maine, coast to coast, what goes through your mind?
Awe. Shock and awe still. I mean, it's amazing. It's great. The blessings we've received. You think about going from hoping to just make a difference with one station to being able to make a difference. And just, I challenge anybody, just listen to the Family Rosary across America and listen to how just praying together as a nation helps people and the impact it has. It takes my breath away more than once a day, easy.
Marty, tell us a little bit about your role today as the Director of Network Operations for the folks at home that have no idea what you do day in and day out.
Well, that makes two of us. No, honestly, the simple answer is, if you hear silence, my name's one of the first ones they yell. It's keep it on the air. It's
in the middle, even in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night, middle of a pandemic, doesn't matter. We got to keep it on the air and keep things going. And so that's really what I'm responsible for.
Behind the scenes, you've been a part of so many moments. What are some of your favorite moments when you think back over the last almost 20 years with Relevant Radio? Can you tell us a couple of quick stories?
Sure. When I'm training somebody, everybody that I've trained has heard this. Radio is like a duck on water. You know, it gracefully floats along the top, but what you don't see is underneath the water, that duck is paddling like the dickens to make things happen. And I think that's the best part about it. What can listeners not normally think about? The paddling. You know, the Family Rosary across America. That change in the pandemic and the start of doing the Family Rosary live from the chapel was a great thing to be a part of. And then things start getting back to normal and Father starts to travel again. And that creates its own scenario of issues. A great one that I love this little story, but Father is traveling. I think it was in Florida at this point. And about 20 minutes before broadcast, we realize he doesn't have a good connection. And what does he do? He gets in his car and he drives until he finds a cell tower that's good enough. And he sits in his car using his phone to not only send the audio back to us, but also do the video. And from his car in the middle of nowhere in Florida, he does the Rosary broadcast. And we sweat that one right up until we turned his mic on. And it's stuff like that that I have a chat program on my phone and chat groups of various broadcasts that we've put on that you'd be surprised of the things we discuss. All of it, just clever stuff to keep each other happy, keep each other smiling, but I think you'd be surprised at what happens in the background sometimes.
Marty, I could talk to you for a full hour. Just a final thought on how special it is for someone who thought he had a calling to the priesthood, and now you can live out your Catholic faith and work for the Lord at the same time at Relevant Radio.
Isn't that the best part of the job? It really is.
For sure, for sure. Well, and tomorrow you're going to be able to work behind the scenes once again with that special mass at Champion, Wisconsin for the 150th anniversary of the apparitions there.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that.
That'll be great. And it ties into today's 150th anniversary of the Great Chicago Fire. So it should be a wonderful broadcast at 11 a.m. tomorrow right here on Relevant Radio. Marty Jury, it's been a joy. I really enjoyed having you on. Brings back so many memories. I can still picture you wearing that yellow shirt at Navy Pier, the old Morning Air shirt. I still have it in my closet.
I've got one as well. You bet.
I love it. Thanks so much for being with us, Marty.
Thank you, John.
Many blessings to you. Marty Jury, Director of Network Operations at Relevant Radio. We need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, Kelly Conmee, the Executive Director of the Women's Center in Chicago, will join us to talk about the amazing work that the Women's Center is doing to help women and to save babies. They're doing amazing work. Stay with us. There's so much more to come here on Morning Air after this short timeout. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
30 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to be with you on another Friday. Hey, it's October, and that means it's Respect Life Month. And of course, we respect life 24/7, 365. But here in the month of October, we try to do it in a special way. Today, I want to recognize a great way that pro-lifers and the pro-life movement is responding to Roe v. Wade, and that is the development of pregnancy resource centers. These centers, and there's over 3,000 across our nation, have been helping women facing crisis pregnancies with real options. One of those places of hope is the Women's Center of Greater Chicagoland. Since 1984, the organization has helped over 40,000 women who were seriously considering an abortion to change their minds and hearts and keep their unborn children. Joining us now is Kelly Conmee, the Executive Director of the Women's Center. Kelly started with the Women's Center back in September of 2019. Before that, she was the Development Director for the Little Sisters of the Poor in Chicago for over 8 years. And has an extensive background in public relations. Good morning, Kelly. Welcome to Morning Air. It is so good to be with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John, so much. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you very much.
Kelly, first of all, you've been the executive director for a relatively short time since September of 2019. How did the good Lord bring you to the Women's Center?
Well, yes, it's. I've had the privilege of being the executive director for 2 years now, and I was fortunate to hear about it when I wanted to try something new and expand my experience, but I definitely wanted to stay working in pro-life.
Oh, that's awesome. And obviously, all your work with the Little Sisters and your previous background is all very helpful to what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, it's been it's been a blessing, and it's kind of led me up to each step in my career as I've gone along.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about the Women's Center. I've always just been so impressed and just love the great work that the Women's Center has been doing for such a long time of helping women, going way back to 1984. Give us a little, just a thumbnail sketch of the Women's Center.
Well, as you said, the Women's Center is a wonderful place. It was born out of a prayer group, actually, with our founder, Conrad Wojner, was in, and they just wanted to do something to save babies. And so over the past 37 years, God has brought, like, thousands of people together to form this awesome organization. And in the beginning, Conrad relied on the generosity of volunteers to get it up and going. And it expanded as the needs evolved from a little prayer group in Des Plaines to Chicago and then into Evergreen Park. So we have three offices now in those areas.
And the work that the Women's Center has done is so moving when I think about it. You know, I mentioned at the top here that the Women's Center has saved over 40,000 babies, and you know, it's a number. But when you put it in perspective, and I always love to think about it, you could fill up a Major League Baseball stadium like Wrigley Field or you know, Yankee Stadium with all the babies that have been saved over the years at the Women's Center. I think that really that image, you just imagine every little seat with a little baby, and that's really what you guys have done, is saving, not only saving the babies, but also helping all these moms to change their hearts and minds who at one point were actually thinking of having an abortion.
It's true, and that's just the recorded number of babies, the 40,000, but there's many more that were undocumented. And then in addition to that, you know, it extends out to fathers, grandparents, and then the siblings of those children and the parent and the mother. So it's a whole family that, you know, that they've touched over the years.
And Kelly, you mentioned that it all started with Conrad Wojner, you know, with a prayer group. Well, prayer is still real important in the Women's Center. In fact, I know you guys have this beautiful mass that you've been doing for years there at the Women's Center at noon. I used to go to that mass quite a bit before I returned back to Relevant Radio. How has mass and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, how has that helped your organization and strengthened all the different workers and the people that that support the Women's Center, you know, over the years?
You know, it's really hard to say how it's done it. It's the fruit of that prayer that is, like, you can see it. Conrad, he's a deacon. So Deacon Conrad, really, because it came from the prayer group, like you said, and he has such a strong devotion to the Lord, he opened up the chapel 24 years ago, and it was dedicated. Cardinal George was actually the cardinal at the time, dedicated that chapel, and Conrad was explaining that they had 17 priests celebrating for that dedication mass.
Wow.
And the prayer...
Wow.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah, prayer undergirds the undergirds the Women's Center, and it sustains our mission. So yes, having the sacraments, Mass, and confession is such a blessing, and the Holy Spirit is there to guide and protect us as we seek to do His will every day.
Well, Kelly, I have a special place in my heart for the Women's Center because I'm not sure you and I talked off the air, but I don't know if I mentioned to you that it was in that very chapel that I prayed in front of the Blessed Sacrament after Mass one day, and I got the inspiration to produce and direct the 40 film. It came to me very clear, make a movie to coincide with the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And so, again, just another extra fruit of the beauty of that chapel, of having the Blessed Sacrament there every day to inspire the folks. So it's a beautiful thing, and I know that that's where the power comes of all the great work that you guys do.
That's true. It's an anchor. Yeah, I'm just hearing all these stories, like your story, all these inspirations, all these miracles, you know, things that you couldn't even believe would happen, you know, are made to happen, you know, after praying in that chapel. It had a profound life on a lot of people's lives.
How does it feel for you to be following in the footsteps of wonderful pro-life giants like Conrad and even Mary Strom, who was the executive director before you for so long?
You know, it's humbling. I have to be honest with you.
Sure.
They've just, you know, they've all added so much to that. I mean, they're laser focus, you know, on the mission, and the fruits of their labor are just so evident. And they've touched thousands of people's lives, and they just, you know, they really, you know, care for the babies and the women and the staff and the volunteers. It's been a beautiful thing to join that legacy with them, you know.
Absolutely. We're joined by Kelly Conmay, the executive director of the Women's Centers of Greater Chicagoland. You know, Kelly, the work that the Women's Center is doing is similar to the work that almost 3,000 centers are doing across our country. You're just, you know, part of a much bigger picture. For the folks that aren't familiar with the Women's Center, can you kind of give us an idea of how you help women as an organization, starting with their first appointment and then, you know, following visits?
Mm-hmm. So when the woman first contacts us, that's like when the relationship begins. And you know, there's a mutual respect and a trust is started from that first initial, you know, a contact. And then when she arrives, she's given a pregnancy test to determine if she's pregnant. And then our client advocates are there to accompany her through the entire process. So they're listening and counseling her. They're helping her weigh her options and letting her have full understanding of all the options, you know, even, you know, the negative sides of what happens with if they would have choose to have an abortion. They're not oftentimes aren't told, you know, what those negative outcomes are. So they learn all of the options. But then we're there to help them find a life-affirming solution. And then depending on how risk, you know, at risk she is for abortion, that we're there also with material assistance. So we provide them with baby items like little bathtubs and diapers, formula, cribs, car seats, you know, strollers and high chairs, you know, whatever they would need materially to get that, you know, nursery set up for them when their baby, you know, comes home from the hospital. So for that, and then for some women, they don't have insurance. We help them get insurance so they can get health care. And then in addition to providing the clothing for the babies, we will also have clothing available for any other children that they may have. We have maternity clothes and women's clothes for them. And then, you know, for those who we also do post-abortive counseling for moms who are struggling with that. And then over the years, they have, you know, extended the post-abortive counseling to fathers and to grandparents. So it's pretty comprehensive, the service that we provide, these women, the children, the siblings, the, you know, extended family.
Part of what you guys do is education, just educate the women that they have real options. And one of those options that I think is so beautiful is the option of adoption.
Right.
This is obviously something that is presented to the women when they come in.
Yes, absolutely. That is for sure. And so, and then some of them have, you know, taken advantage of that and, have, you know, and the counselors have been there through that process too, because there is, you know, that's a very unselfish thing for a woman to do, and so they're there for them for that.
Well, as an adoptive father myself, I am the adoptive father of a former baby boy. He's now 14 years old. He's a big boy now, bigger than daddy. But you know, the option of adoption is such a beautiful thing. I mean, I think back. In fact, I actually way back when he was a baby, we actually received one of those car seats from the women's centers. Our little Joseph Donick was just a little baby, so we've seen the fruits. In fact, in honor of our discussion here this morning, Kelly, I have a beautiful baby bottle. The Women's Center baby bottles, they're so cute. They come in different colors. And, you know, I know that that's also part of how you guys raise money. It's part of the support, that grassroots that you get out to the churches.
It is, and that's so. That's a year-round program, but primarily in Respect Life Month in October, we deliver baby bottles throughout the archdiocese and schools, and it's a great way for, you know, young people and older people to fundraise, and really, it's a tangible way to like really support the work that we do. And it's just, you know, spare change, but it really adds up when we all come together. It makes it such an impact. And it's at the same time, you know, people are, you know, praying for these women and the children who are vulnerable to abortion. And then we have little pictures on the bottles of the babies that have been helped by the Women's Center. And it really connects, you know, the donor back to the mission of that is an actual baby that was saved. You know, it makes it more of an impact. It's just a great way to show support for life, and especially, you know, for everyone to really come together. There's, you know, a lot of negativity out there, and it's a very beautiful way to, you know, put seeds of hope for children.
Absolutely. In the final moments that we have, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the ultrasound machines that have helped so many women across our country. And I know that at the Women's Center, when a woman comes in and sees that ultrasound machine, it touches hearts.
Yeah, it's true. And the thing about the ultrasound, it helps a woman who's, you know, maybe have, it's the concept of having a crisis or what to do, but then it's like a window to the womb. That's what the nurses describe it as. And the nurses say that's the best part of their job, is they're actually introducing that baby to the mother that's seeing it for the first time. And it's not an abstract. It's a real baby, and it's their baby. And so then when they see that baby, they're sucking their thumb, they're jumping around. Sometimes they're in, you know, looking right into the probe and almost like looking out, you know, through that monitor to the mother. It just makes it more real, and it's personal, and it humanizes the baby. So it's been made a profound effect on the efficacy of the crisis pregnancy centers to really connect the mom with that baby, with their baby.
Well, Kelly, it's been a joy chatting with you. Continued success at the Women's Center. You guys are doing amazing work, and thanks again for being with us.
Well, thank you so much, and thank all your listeners for all the support and prayers over the years. We're so grateful.
God bless you and your work. Kelly Conmay, Executive Director of the Women's Center of Greater Chicagoland. We're going to take a break. When we return, Bishop Daniel Muggenberg will look ahead to this Sunday's Gospel. Stay with us.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now, 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air on another Friday dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm John Morales. It's good to be with you, and now it's time to look ahead to this Sunday's Gospel. Always keep in mind that the Word of God in the Gospels, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, is powerful. When the Gospel, the Book Eternal, is proclaimed, Christ is passing by. Jesus is speaking to you. So listen carefully, folks, as Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, the newly installed Bishop of Reno, Nevada, shares his weekly reflection on this Sunday's Gospel with our very own Glenn Leverance.
Our Gospel reading for the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time comes from Mark chapter 10. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied to him and said, "Teacher, all of these I've observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, so Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said among themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." And now Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio with a look at that gospel passage out of Mark 10. Joining us as usual, Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, the Bishop of Reno. Thanks for being along today, Bishop Muggenberg.
Great to be here, Glenn.
Well, this is a passage that that can be tough depending on, well, not only how good our faith is, mostly that, but how good our bank account might look as well. Here we have the rich man coming to the Lord saying, "I've done all these good things. Is that enough?"
Well, and in fact, this man is very sincere in his approach to Jesus, and we need to really give him credit that he's wanting to know if indeed he is fulfilling all of the necessary requirements to inherit eternal life. But what his question reveals is that he is approaching his faith life, you know, in a type of transactional way, first of all, in which he expects to earn something in response to his good deeds. And that reveals to us a subtle temptation that can lead us into frustration and disappointment, and I think into a misguided faith in our own discipleship as well.
Should we have some sympathy for the rich man in terms of, granted, he's trying to do things, but he's still looking for more ways, wanting to make sure he can be the best he can absolutely be?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We should absolutely, you know, I think, have a certain admiration that he desires to do good. And yet, what we should also recognize is that he really exemplifies a lot of our own tendencies when we're relying on ourselves or when we're approaching our faith life only as a matter of following rules. With an attitude that somehow we can earn and deserve God's good graces. Jesus wants to invite him into a deeper experience of faith, an experience of faith that isn't based on his efforts or his accomplishments or on, you know, his ability to be better than others in some sense or another, but rather a faith that is based on a profound trusting relationship that's centered on Jesus, that is really trusting in the Lord's goodness and is reflecting the Lord's mercy, the Lord's generosity, the Lord's selfless giving, sacrificial giving for others. And when he is willing to enter into that profound relationship of trust with Jesus, then the center of gravity is no longer on himself, no longer on his own ability to do something or on his own decisions. The center of gravity becomes totally focused on Jesus, and his life begins to revolve around the Lord rather than his own efforts of faith.
Now, for this particular fellow, it was money that gave him his earthly sense of security, but can this gospel really apply to us as well for anything that we think we get our security from? It might be money, it might be something else, but instead of the Lord.
You bet. In one way or another, we all have a source of mammon. And that word mammon that Jesus uses sometimes in the Gospels actually comes from the same root as the word amen. And it means that which we base our life on, that which gives us our sense of security and our sense of identity. Now, the reality is that no one but God can give us our true identity. No one but God can assure us of our eternal security. And yet when we are tempted to put our security or find our identity in things around us, especially things like wealth or positions even, or even other people's respect, then we're going to fall short. We're going to enter into that kind of false identity that makes it very difficult for us to trust God, especially when God asks us to let go of those false securities and those false identities. And that's what he was doing for this man. He wanted to invite him out of love to a deeper relationship and a true security, a true identity found in Jesus himself. And the man just could not let go of what he was holding on to as his source of security, his mammon in life.
As nonprofits depend on donations for their livelihood, is it good to encourage people to look at that wealth not as something only for them, nor as purely a curse, but just as a tool or a skill they've been gifted with to do good?
That's exactly what it is. It is a tool, and it's an important tool. You know, the Lord, in his loving mercy, entrusts the goods of creation, and that includes our resources, to us so that we will be generous ministers of those according to his will for others. And that's a real privilege to be able to be that kind of a faithful steward, to receive from the Lord and to faithfully administer according to the will of God. That's the ideal for every disciple. And God has that confidence in us that we are capable of that, that we can do that, and that if we maintain a life of prayer and a deep communion with Jesus, that we will be able to do that. The difficulty falls when we begin to disproportionately prioritize and value those goods of creation more than our relationship with the Creator.
This, of course, continues to today, but in Bible times, it was seen in society as a sign of God's blessing if one was rich. And here we have the Lord saying, it's really difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom. That scared his disciples, wondering, how can this be possible?
That's true. In the time of Jesus, you know, they really did believe in a certain gospel of health and wealth. And so to be wealthy was a sign that you were blessed by God, you were favored by God, and therefore that you were in right relationship with God. And Jesus really turns that whole value system on its head. I mean, he reverses everything, and he says, you know, don't look at the world's riches in that way anymore. That's not true anymore. The reality is that the Lord wants us to understand that our blessings are a responsibility, and that we indeed become blessed not just based on what we receive, but even more so on how we administer and how we handle the blessings that we receive. That's what makes us blessed in the eyes of God. So Peter and the others are like shocked, because they're like, well, we always thought that this was a sign of God's favor, and now you're telling us that this can actually hold us back from God's favor, you know, our trusting or our reception of these blessings. And so Peter naturally is wondering, well, who can be saved, you know, because Peter just presumed that, you know, if people were blessed, that was a sign that they were saved. And so Jesus reminds Peter that following him as a disciple is going to mean a different way of viewing our blessings. And the ultimate blessing we receive is the blessing of communion and faithful friendship with Jesus. There is no blessing greater than that, because that's the one blessing that lasts into eternity.
Our Lord also has great reassurance for his disciples that their sacrifices will not be in vain.
That is absolutely true. And that's going to be true for any of us. Now, the problem is that oftentimes when we make sacrifices, we do so in a transactional way, where we fully expect that we will receive something in return from the Lord in this world, a measurable blessing in exchange for the sacrifices that we make. But that's not really a love that reflects the love of Jesus. That's a love that is conditional. You know, that's a love that's going to be measured. And that's a love that, as I say, is transactional rather than relational. The reality is that when we sacrifice, especially our sacrifices of faith for the Lord and for others, we should do so with a sense of gratitude for having been given the privileged opportunity to witness our friendship with Jesus. And that is that in itself is the greatest blessing we can have. And so we should be very careful to not expect or demand that God return our sacrificial generosity to us in a visible, measurable way in this life.
Bishop Muggenberg, we appreciate the encouraging words and great reflection on the Sunday Gospel reading as always. If you'd be so kind as to wrap us up with your blessing this week.
The Lord be with you. And may the blessing of Almighty God invite us to a profound and deep relationship with Jesus that goes beyond something we experience on our terms and brings us to something to which we surrender on God's terms. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Bishop Muggenberg. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called, How Old Are You? I asked an elderly man once what it was like to be old and to know the majority of his life was behind him. He told me that he'd been the same age his entire life. He said the voice inside his head had never aged. He's always been the same boy, his mother's son. He'd always wondered when he'd grow up and be an old man. He said he watched his body age and his faculties dull, but the person he is inside never got tired, never aged, never changed. Our spirits are eternal. Our souls are forever. The next time you encounter an elderly person, look at them and know they are still a child, just as you are still a child, and children will always need love, attention, and purpose. From Psalm 92:14, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, attorney Mary Helen Fiorito will discuss a friend of the court brief for the upcoming Dobbs case that could overturn Roe v. Wade. And a little bit later in the show, Pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader will continue his series on life lessons. We'll talk about setting arbitrary limits. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come on Morning Air next hour here on Relevant Radio, relevantradio.com, and the Relevant Radio app. Stay with us.